Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion for this Wednesday morning. Very nice to have you with us. It is a it is the 8th of March and a lovely morning. So we thank you for being with us. We have a lot of good topics to talk about. I mean, good is like newsy, juicy, like good, not like
happy.
Yeah, not necessarily jump over the moon happy, but you know.
Well, Rich is already dancing. This is going to be irritating. irritating.
All right, let me introduce everybody. WAMC's Alan Shartok. Good morning. How are you, sir?
Good morning.
Very good. good to have you here. Rosemary Armeo is the director of the journalism program at UAlbany. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Happy International Women's Day.
How are you celebrating, besides your beautiful red sweater?
Yes, I'm in red. I can't strike because as a public employee, I work for the university. It's against New York State law to participate in a work stoppage, the Taylor Act. So my class and I will be viewing a movie and discussing social justice and journalism versus advocacy today. And then I'm speaking at the Prine House tonight in Colony about, after 2016, should women be allowed to vote?
Wow. That's good stuff. So, yeah, my wife.
I don't think Rich is coming.
No,
he just rolled his eyes.
You don't know. Maybe he'll be there.
Who came up with that topic?
I did.
Really? Okay.
It's going to be so very clever.
What's the backstory?
Well, I can't tell. Then you'll have to come.
All right.
Yeah, you can show up.
Maybe
it's
I'll
legal.
Show up.
All right. Yeah, Kelly was decked out in her red jacket this morning, mm-hmm. and all ready to go. So.
My mother began washing the floor, and I said, "You can't do that. It's International Women's Day today." She goes, "Well, is Donald Trump going to come and clean my floors?"
That is such a motherly thing
to
say.
She's
that is
not
great.
Observing.
Corporate attorney Rich Honan is with us. Good morning, Rich.
Good morning.
Very nice to have you here.
Nice to be here.
All right, so let's get to it and find out what is happening in the world and what's going on. The big story since we last met yesterday, when going off the air at 11:30 or 10:30 yesterday morning, was, of course, this WikiLeaks story. Now, let's dig into this, because I have to admit I don't quite get all of it. WikiLeaks released a trove of alleged CIA hacking documents. Now, what this was appears to be the largest leak of CIA documents in history. Thousands of pages describing sophisticated software tools and techniques used by the agency to break into smartphones, computers, and even internet-connected televisions. The documents amount to a highly detailed technical catalog of tools. They include instructions for compromising a wide range of common computer tools for use in spying, the online calling service Skype, Wi-Fi networks, documents in PDF format, and even commercial antivirus programs of the kind used by millions of people to protect their computers. It was a document dump, the latest coup for the anti-secrecy organization, and a serious blow to the CIA, which uses its hacking abilities to carry out espionage against foreign targets. Alan, what does this mean to you?
Well, first of all, I'm going to assume that if the CIA has those tools, which we now know they do, that so does the FBI. I'm also going to assume, because remember, the CIA is supposed to operate across the waters, and the domestic agencies are supposed to operate here. And we have heard some disturbing material over the years that maybe those lines are a little bit confused. So I'm assuming that anything I say on the telephone or anything that I do on, maybe paranoid, but I don't think so. Anything I do online is somebody could be watching. Now, if in fact, this program quite often takes the more courageous path, I would think that we might rise to the top of the most listened to list. Now, it is possible that I'm all wrong. That nobody is listening on my telephone or
they could just listen to
anything.
The radio. They wouldn't have to tap your phone. Yeah.
Well, exactly. I don't say anything on the phone that I'm not saying on the radio. So I'm assuming that that the better part of valor here is for all of us to just figure somebody's listening. Now, maybe I'm wrong, but when we see the specifics, which are, I guess, that they have all this stuff And they're supposedly using it internationally, then maybe, just maybe, it's also being used domestically.
No, make him go first.
I hate that we think that it's somehow okay that we have no sense of privacy. But you know, Rosemary, it seems kind of generational because, you know, the twenty somethings, they actually say what Alan just said is, well, I just, you know, I don't care. I assume everybody's looking at everything, and I'm so unwilling to concede that that's okay.
Oddly, we agree. I do see there is a definite lack of understanding and appreciation for privacy among my students. And that's because they've been taught from the time they were toddlers that there's going to be pictures of them, they will go out, people are going to know what you're talking about. This is a whole different level. I think the Russians are involved in this. WikiLeaks is totally tied up with Putin. I think that's where it came from.
Okay. My concern, though, is that I guess I understand the complaints about or I understand the concerns about what was in the documents. But isn't the big story here, or am I completely naive? The big story here is that now
that they were doing it,
that they're sending, they're dumping this stuff, that all of this was leaked. And yeah, we don't know who they're listening to.
They're listening to everybody. There's right now at our on our website, our email at the university, there's odd markings, let us say, on our email, and we suspect it's because two of us in our program have been to the Middle East. We work in Tunisia. We don't know for sure, but we're checking it out. It does not seem incredible to us. We're not laughing at the idea. I've ruled out all phone sex in the future because you don't know. The organization that's a joke. The organization the organization I work with encrypts everything, but says if somebody wants to tap into what you're doing, they're going to get through this anyway. So it is indeed true that we knew all this, but now it's all spelled out. Plus, it was the CIA getting hit. This isn't more than just individual privacy. This is the spy agency itself.
Well, I think that's what I mean.
It's a huge get. It's like the NSA being hit.
So what does that mean for your phone sex, Rich?
I'm not going to touch that
okay,
one.
Okay, that's all right.
All my phone sex is encrypted anyway. People would argue probably all of my sex is encrypted.
Yes, Alan?
That's funny.
Alan wants to talk about phone sex, too?
No, I'm too old for that. The question I have for you guys is, I hope that I didn't suspect a nuance that from Rosemary or Rich, that I thought it was okay that they were doing this. It is not okay. I'm just simply saying it's just prudent to assume that somebody's looking at us.
Yeah, it is.
But there's a level of acceptance there almost that worries me. I feel like we have to kind of keep, I don't like that we keep eroding that line. You know that you know because acceptance then because you know I don't like that
and you know the laws
you know
after
what?
The NSA leaks the government basically said okay it's all right now that we know you're leaking tapping into people continue
right.
doing it here's one other thing too that I have not read about but it makes me wonder this revelation the WikiLeaks dump came right after the whole weekend of tweeting about Obama's looking at my email connection.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I thought. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At least temporally, you know, time wise, they don't seem to be unconnected events.
Yeah. But it's also one thing that if the CIA has you under surveillance, but even if they do, it's even more concerning that they're able to be hacked and all that information can go out into a data dump.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing
secure, Alan.
Yeah, one last thing here, and that is that I'm old enough to remember when there was something called ABSCAM, and I don't know if everybody remembers it, but what happened is a group of FBI guys got behind a mirror.
It's a sting operation.
Yeah, got behind a mirror and called a whole bunch of pulled a whole bunch of congressmen in, and one of whom I worked for back in the day, and basically tried to bribe them. And it was so outrageous making these crimes happen. If there was ever a textbook case of entrapment, that was what it was. Some of these guys may have been weak, but nevertheless, it was a terrible thing. Well, the Congress was so ticked off about the whole thing that they said, you're not going to do this to us ever again. And by the way, it's never been done again. So my point here is, does this kind of release offer the American people a chance to say, hey, this ain't right, and we need laws which will protect us? We have them on phone tapping. As you know, they're supposed to let you know after a certain amount of time whether they were tapping your phone or not. I don't know that they do that, but that is the law, and those are the rules. So this is a time for outrage.
We should note that there was some redaction, right, Rosemary? They were partially redacted to avoid the actual codes.
Yeah, and it was the codes related to the cyber warfare tools.
Right.
I don't know how. WikiLeaks has never done a great job on redaction, so I don't think that's a great idea. And this is one of the biggest dumps of information they've ever had. So that should cause us some concern.
They're calling the first installment.
Right.
Thousands of documents that they have.
Right. And what's unclear, I think at the moment, what's unclear is the extent to which is what is being disclosed really just a litany of things that the CIA can do or actual procedures, you know, being disclosed. It seems like it's edging more into that. But look, I would have hoped that the CIA could do all this, right? Against the right people, argue about who that is. Mm-hmm. What worries me more, you know, going back to Rosemary's point about the timing is, I really hope this is, I'm going to pronounce this word wrong, internecine. I hope this is not part of an internecine war within the intelligence community.
That didn't occur to me, because this is exactly what NSA went through. It's exactly the same thing, which means they're all vulnerable. And let me also point out, many politicians have rightly done this also. We are hearing the secrets of the U.S. government and U.S. politicians. I'm not getting it from Germans, Russians, Chinese, and Koreans, and they're all doing it too.
Right.
So this is one more point. I think WikiLeaks is just totally Russian right now.
Alan?
You could be very well right, which may lead to Michael's letter this morning, which says, why can't they hack into the Predator-in-Chief's tax returns? Yeah, you know, that's pretty interesting, isn't it? That they can hack into all this other stuff, but for some reason, nobody can come up with those tax returns.
I'm sure people have it. It's releasing them that is the issue. They have not released them.
We got a couple letters on this. Brian says, non-story, spy agencies doing their job, news at 11.
Okay.
The government just can't tap or eavesdrop without a legal order. Please clarify. That's from Joe.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Well, allegedly that's true.
Yeah, allegedly it's true. Snowden made the lie of that. It's happening.
Doug says, I'm glad the CIA has these tools. WikiLeaks and whoever leaked the info should be prosecuted. How about if they leak the names of agents? This dump of info is not acceptable.
I think WikiLeaks should be prosecuted if they're working or giving information to the Russians, not for giving out information that they get if they did not hack it themselves or cause someone else to do it. When you get news, no matter what way, you have an obligation to put it out, except I don't know all this other stuff. So, and the person who did it, I, again, is he a Snowden? Is he a Julian Assange? Is there a difference between the two? I think the lines on these whistleblowers have become very blurred.
Yeah, and it's become kind of this seems to be the way that we find out the things that our government does.
Well, that's always been the case.
Yeah, but that's not real acceptable to me either. On the other hand, I do agree with the first letter. This is what spy agencies are supposed to do.
Yeah.
Right.
You said that. That was your first point, and that's true.
You know, but the idea of who is the sole proprietor, maybe not sole, but who is the proprietor or proprietors of that many documents. It would seem to me that would be a small list, yes?
No. How did Snowden, for example, get it? He was a relatively minor contractor, but the technology now is he tapped into the system.
Right.
And downloaded volumes of material. Same with the Panama Papers. This one person, John Doe is the only way he's been described, managed to tap in and got everything in the company. No one person in any company, even the president, is privy to every single document related to every single case the company was dealing with.
I understand that, but I guess this gets back to my original point of that. then that speaks to the security of the operation itself,
correct.
That but, one person can get in and
correct.
Do that.
But Joe,
it
doesn't that also speak to, wasn't there that change in the waning days of the Obama administration to increase the amount of intelligence agencies that this information was going to be shared among, you know, and Trump was saying, oh, you guys did this just to trip me up once I got in, you know, suddenly stuff that was being shared with just a few agencies was now being shared, I think they said, among 16 different agencies. And if true, that would increase the community of people who would have lawful access to it.
This has been a continuing tension since the Bush days, when you remember that it was very concentrated, the number of people to whom the intelligence went, and thus the charges. Cheney was able to cut out anything that disagreed with his view.
Right.
So that's going to be an ongoing tension that probably will not be resolved. We'll be having this argument in two more administrations.
And we should note the documents included in this latest from 2013 to 2016, time-stamped.
Right.
So over that three-year period of time. Let's take a break.
I want to just go back.
Let me just take
a quick
break.
I just want to go back real quickly to...
Go ahead.
Really quick, to Rosemary's point, it's all those wacky Washians. I don't have any question that's what we have to be looking at here.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will continue. We have letters and your thoughts as well. Panel@WAMC.org. Panel@WAMC.org. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Rich Honan. Next, after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. Rich is dancing. Rosemary is happily humming and smiling. And... Alan, we don't know what you're doing, but you're the only one without a camera on you. But we'll assume that you're...
You can be sure it has something to do with my leg being up in the air.
Yoga. You're doing yoga.
I'm doing ankle yoga. Yeah.
We have letters. We'll start with those, and then we'll move on to some other topics. Roberta says, I would be so flattered if the CIA or FBI thought I was subversive enough or important enough to listen into my inane phone calls or look at my emails asking friends for knitting advice.
Well, do you remember back, this will date me, but back in the Nixon era.
Somebody has to.
Yeah, right. I know. That's right. That's a very small community of people right there. During the Nixon era, when they found out that Nixon had the list of enemies, and people were, you know, pleased,
buying
proud
to be
on
the
list.
Yeah.
Oh, I made the list. They have a file on me.
They put that on their resume.
Yeah, exactly.
We got this from Michael, who says, so don't we have a household-wide FBI and CIA and NSA domestic surveillance combined with a president who declares the media the enemy of the people? How long do you figure before the government decides what news I'm allowed access to, declaring which news sites are legal and which are not? At what point am I charged with a crime for accessing news that the government doesn't want me to read? Is this a silly question?
Not a silly question, but up until the last sentence, that point was 2008. That's what he was asking. At what point do all these things happen? The answer is it started in 2008. Having you know, accusing you of a crime for reading the wrong news, we haven't gotten there yet.
2008, so you want to make a knock on Obama, but I'm not getting it.
He
went after journalists, and I don't
defend it's
him.
Not an Obama. No, this is when, you know, the 2008 was when the media shifted from, you know, journalism to advocacy.
Oh, ugh.
All right, Alan?
I just want to second something that Rosemary just said to Rich.
Black? Yeah.
All right. Get that bitter taste out of your mouth.
There we go.
James, or Jimbo, as he goes by, not hard to believe that WikiLeaks has accumulated hacked information against all sides. They'll cherry pick which info to release to accomplish their own biased goals.
Yes.
Yes. Elaine says, a friend of mine has done business in Russia for years, and his company no longer uses email. For safety reasons, they are back to the good old ways of communication.
Talking in person.
And you think that there isn't a way that letters get steamed or photographed or x-rayed in the same way that, you know, that email is? Of course that they do.
Well,
I mean, that genie's out of the bag.
When Jim Risen was meeting with a source in the State Department, government agents mapped when he signed in. You have to sign into a government building. And then when his presumed source signed out, and what they were doing is he'd come in, say, hey, I'm here, and they'd go out into a park. But they still caught him by that. So even face-to-face meetings can be extremely dangerous. And the advice we give our journalists in Eastern Europe is don't go alone, meet in a public place, don't exchange papers any place you can be seen, don't make copies. It's it makes us feel like spies.
You know, every time and it happens all the time, we have a lot of cameras on Central Avenue because there have been a lot of fights, there have been murders, there have been this and that. And anytime you see something on the news, somebody's captured on tape or on one of these public cameras. So even if your advice is good, Rosemary, and you go out into a public place or a park, chances are somebody's going to see it.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, I watch Homeland, and they got everything. Every conversation is from the little pinhole between Homeland and James Bond. We know what they're up to, right? It's pretty true. We got a letter from Philip who says, remember that privacy was at the core of Roe v. Wade. Don't be so quick to write off our rights to privacy.
I don't think anybody's writing it off, Philip. In all honesty, I think that's – you're putting words in our mouths. I don't think that's true at all. We're all very upset about this. Nobody likes it. But the fact is, it is – or as I think Governor Cuomo once says, it is what it is.
It's making me think about privacy again. The Europeans are much, how many modifiers can I put in front of the word, stricter on privacy than we are. And as a journalist, I always said, no, I want the information. But, this kind of stuff's got to make you think again. Government is turning into, and I mean all governments, not just Trump, into Big Brother.
Yeah, especially the attenuation of we could probably all largely agree that if there's somebody who truly is an enemy of the state, however, if you define that in some rational way, then that person should be surveilled and we should have some agency who's keeping track of them. The problem is the attenuation of the definition of enemy of the state. You know, because now people say, well, if they're opposing my election, then that makes them an enemy of the state. And then that seems to, that seems to give them carte blanche. I'm not saying that's what's going on here, but we're moving closer to that.
Right.
All right. Let us move on to some other topics. And I want to hear from all of you, but I especially want to hear from Rich about health care. So let's go to that. Conservatives not happy. Republican efforts to update the health care plan and to replace and revise the Affordable Care Act met with widespread resistance Tuesday from conservatives in and out of Congress, moderates in the Senate, and key industry stakeholders, casting doubt on the plan's chances just one day after House GOP leaders released it. The most imminent and serious threat to the plan crafted by House Speaker Paul Ryan was the growing backlash from conservative lawmakers and powerful outside groups who argued that the draft is nothing more than Obamacare lite, a disparaging reference to the former president's signature 2010 domestic achievement. Rich Honan, you are on the carpet.
Yeah, I'm pretty much with him on that. It was I understand this is just a first draft, but the first draft, as anybody who's negotiated deals will tell you, the first draft has a lot of power because it tells you what people are going to talk and argue about. You knew that no matter what happened, people on the left were going to say there's not enough coverage, and people on the right were going to say it costs too much. So I understand there was always going to be that. I'm dismayed by operationally with the plan. I do think it looks a little too much like Obamacare. I'm dismayed with the fact that, at least at this moment, Trump seems to have ceded the ground on this to Paul Ryan and the legislative wonks. And I don't like where that is going. And I don't like that Trump has kind of gotten away from this idea of handling it as a corporate type matter and has delegated it so widely. So, yeah, I'm not digging it.
Rosemary. Go ahead, Alan.
Gallen wants to go.
Yeah, go ahead, Alan.
No, I don't want to say much except that all the analysis, first of all, there's no price tag on it, right? So we don't know what this is going to cost. It's going to cost a lot of money. Number two, it's going to save billions for the richest people in this country, and it's going to screw the people at the bottom of the social scale, and we know that. And that is obvious. MSNBC this morning, CNN had lists of who was going to make out like bandits as a result of this thing. So it's not surprising. What it is disgusting. The only thing I can say is these people ought to be ashamed of themselves because they call themselves, for want of a better word, quite frequently they call themselves Christians or Jews or whatever else, which have obviously moral instructions for how to behave in life. And this is anything but that. So it's really disgusting. And I hope that there is a continuation between the conservatives and the more conservatives in the Congress.
I think the idea of a draft is ridiculous. This isn't a draft. This is going to be close to what we get. And the proof of that is that it's going forward without any budget being attached to it. And in the face of complaints by Republicans, other Republicans say, hey, we need more time. McConnell and Ryan are both pushing it through. I think it's really not so much dismantling ACA. They can do that at their leisure. But it's really making the first pass through on Medicaid. And that's what's really happening here. Ryan was pretty adamant that he said this is going to get through. I have the votes. And I suspect that's what he's saying in all the backdoor sessions with his caucus.
Yeah, and I don't like it at all. It's funny, when Alan was saying they should be ashamed of themselves, I was thinking, for calling themselves conservatives. I thought they should be ashamed of themselves.
I agree with Alan that it's a heartless, mean, and evil plan to cut out a lot of people and uncaring about the health of a lot. But that's my bleeding heart liberalism. If I were a conservative, I'd be annoyed that this is going to be possibly as costly as Obamacare and not as good.
Yeah.
So it's a watered down, just as expensive thing. That what does that do for conservatives?
Yeah. Well, it points up. You know, I really think that the lines in this country, I don't think are, as at least on this issue, and maybe on more. It's not so much left versus right. It's the ruling elites versus everybody else. And I don't trust Ryan and McConnell any more than I trusted Reid and Pelosi. In fact, I trust them less because they come out like they're conservatives. I have no problem with them changing the plan because that's what he ran on and that's what he said it was going to do. I do have a big problem with them somehow thinking like they have to have a new Obamacare. I just don't agree with that. I think, it was a piece of crap bill that got, pushed through. It was fraudulently pushed and they had to use every trick in the book to get it done. I think we should scrap it and go to something else. And that's what they said they were going to do.
Alan?
So, Rich, who's going to take care of the people who can't take care of themselves in this country?
First, the government will, like it always has. Second, I got to tell you, Alan, the Democrats have done a really good job of selling this idea to the American people that you deserve lots and lots of free stuff. And we've come to accept that like that.
Oh,
that
free
is our
stuff
right.
Like the corporations. Free stuff like the corporations get, like the rich people get. As Anne Ruth Weintraub used to say a lot when she was alive. Typical, Rich. It's just typical of you.
Oh, good one, Alan. That's true. Corporate welfare is okay and not individual.
I don't think...
What is this crazy plan now that people have to work? We're going to add workfare as we did to welfare. So sick people have to go get a job in order to pay for their care. Yeah. I mean, come on. If you're going to just cut them loose, cut them loose. This is...
No, I don't think it was ever. There was never the plan to cut them loose. And I had this whole fight with Teresa because Teresa was saying, well, they're just going to repeal it and not replace it with anything. And I said, that's such a false narrative. Now they've replaced it or they propose to replace it with something that to me doesn't look very different from Obamacare. I think it was always it's always going to be the case that the government will provide some type of health plan for people who cannot otherwise afford it. We've done it before.
Yeah.
We've called it Medicaid and Medicaid and Medicare, and we'll continue to do it. I think the question
is—
What
are you talking about? What are you talking about? You mean health savings accounts?
No.
That's pretty funny, all right.
No.
Savings accounts or tax credits. I mean, give me a break, Rich. This, you are taking away from the 20, 30 million people who are getting health care now what they had with a bunch of phooey. And that's what it's about.
Alan, every time you say this, I have to point out to you that the 20 million who are covered by Obamacare, of those, about 16 million were covered by some other type of insurance before Obamacare took it away. All right? And I've
depends what you mean by covered by.
I mean,
it depends what you mean by covered by.
I meant they had a plan, and they liked their plan, and they had a doctor, and they liked their doctor, and they end up being able to keep none of it. However, it's never been the proposition.
Are you making this stuff up or what?
Alan, I'm not the one who lied to the American people. That was your guy. Okay? I'm just telling you what he said 1,000 times, none of which was true. It has never been the plan to make people not have health care. Okay? In fact, I think the problem with this plan is it ends up going too far. I agree with you that it doesn't make any sense at all in my mind to give somebody who doesn't have a job a tax credit, because I don't know what you're going to do with that tax credit, right?
I think it
offends me that they would think that I, as a fiscal conservative, would somehow think that that's a workable plan.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We are late for a break, but I wanted to get all of that out because I wanted to give people plenty of time to write their I Hate Rich letters. We will we'll be right back. We'll call
it. Just when it looked like people... were beginning to like him.
I know. Just when he's very sane. We like him. All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll check in with the mailbag and another good fun right after this.
Support for WAMC comes from Big Elm Brewing at 65 Silver Street in Sheffield, Massachusetts. Tap room open Thursdays through Saturdays, 12 to 6 p.m. BigElmBrewing.com. And Sunwood Builders Amherst, over 20 years of green and custom home building, offering home remodeling services and energy retrofits, working to save energy while maintaining design features. Sunwood-Builders.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the round table. We were just Rich usually dances during the breaks. I will share the joke with you. Rich was usually dances during the breaks, and that was a slower number that Rob, our wonderful engineer, was playing.
It was like a piano sonata. What am I supposed to do with that?
And Rich said, "What am I, Nureyev?" Which I thought was very funny. All right, so we are back. We'll move on to some other topics, and we'll catch up with the mail in a second. We welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org, panel at WAMC.org. Let's go on to other things, and we will go to the wiretap response. Of course, this is the story that started on Saturday morning. And President Trump announced yesterday he has no regrets. His staff, meanwhile, according to the New York Times, has no defense. After weeks of assailing reporters and critics and diligent defense of their boss, Mr. Trump's team has been uncharacteristically muted this week when pressed about his explosive and so far proof-free Twitter posts on Saturday accusing President Barack Obama of tapping phones in Trump Tower during the 2016 campaign. The accusation and the FBI director James Comey and the former National Intelligence Director James Clapper emphatically deny that any such wiretap was requested or issued constitutes one of the most consequential accusations made by one president against another in American history. So for Mr. Trump's allies inside the West Wing and beyond, the tweet storm spawned the mother of all messaging migraines, thank you, New York Times,
Over the past few days, they have executed what amounts to a strategic political retreat, trying to publicly validate Mr. Trump's suspicions without overtly endorsing a claim some of them believe might have been generated by Breitbart News and other far-right outlets. Sean Spicer, the White House press secretary and a feisty Trump loyalist, when asked on Tuesday in an on-camera briefing if he's seen any evidence to back up Mr. Trump's accusation, said, "No, that's above my pay grade."
Yes, that's been added to the lexicon now, that when you can't defend something, that's what you're going to say. I think the main effect of all of these tweet storms lately has been the complete delegitimization, delegitimizing his communication staff, because they cannot defend it. They don't know enough to defend it, and there's nothing to it.
Well, and they
notice how we're not talking now about the fraudulent votes. That just all went away.
Right. Alan?
It does appear that not a percentage of the 90% of registered Republicans in this country have moved off the dime. And all of the stuff that we have always been used to hearing, the president knows, nobody knows what the president knows, so you have to trust the president. None of that seems, Rosemary, to dissuade all of these supporters of Trump from anything.
That's because, Alan, and we've been discussing it here today, it doesn't seem that impossible to be true. The New York Times even took that on and said, look, you know, he could have had his friends or his associates could have been caught in completely legitimate wiretaps being done by the government of Russian officials. We already know we've had a series of confessions about how many actually were talking to the Russians. If that had happened, they could legitimately have gotten a wiretap. And it isn't down. It isn't written in the docket as going after Trump. It's going after one of his associates. And all of the denials by Comey and Clapper and all the rest of them, who, by the way, are all liars too, they don't exclude any of that. So I'm not totally dissing it. I think it could be true. We also know that Obama was keeping tabs on enemies. He did that with the press. So do I think it's impossible? No. Do I think the way that President Trump has brought it into the national debate is irresponsible and crazy? Yes.
But even bringing it into the debate doesn't seem to, I mean, even if you bring it into the debate, you seem like you would have some facts, some proof that you could share with the proper agencies.
His goal, apparently. Because, as a president, he can declassify anything. He can demand that everybody speaks up. He can fire everybody who doesn't give the answers he wants. He has ultimate power. But instead, what he wants is some sort of opinion or impression by the people.
Rich?
I was struck by the lack of, I think I agree with Rosemary. I'm pretty sure it's true. Okay? I'm pretty sure that we will find that somewhere there. In fact, I thought the New York Times reported back in January or maybe December when the Flynn stuff was going on. The New York Times reported that there was a leaked transcript of, you know, a conversation between Flynn and somebody in the Russian government or embassy or something. It's very possible that there were transmissions from Trump Tower that were picked up.
But they were seeing his phones and they were tapping him specifically.
Who knows?
That's
who
knows? Right.
And
he blamed the president. Obama specifically.
Yeah. Now I know that, that you can play a lot of games with. I understand that, you know, they say, well, a FISA court, you know, it's not Obama who gets the warrant from the FISA, and probably, you know,
Let me add, Rich, on this along the same lines. If they were tapping Russians to whom all these people were speaking, there is no FISA. You don't need a FISA order
Absolutely.
To go after them.
Right.
So everything they said now, all those denials could be true, but they're so carefully worded and parsed, it still leaves room for it to be true.
Did you hear the Josh Earnest? So Martha Raddatz, who is
good
like really
good interview.
So
yes.
You have to understand, Martha Raddatz is like anathema to conservatives because she was.
Allegedly cried.
Because she cried when Hillary lost, but there,
allegedly
she there. I wanted to ask you about this interview because she asked Josh Earnest. She said, can you tell us, conclusively that there was no, you know, wiretapping, you know, by Obama of Trump or Trump Tower. And his response was, the people in the intelligence community are patriots. And her response was, thank you. No more questions. That you call that an interview?
That's not the one I thought you were going to talk about.
But do remember that
one,
right?
I do remember that. And
that's not how you teach your students.
No, it is not. Broadcast is, I mean, I don't know what kind of time she had, but what I took from it has fed my belief that, oh, my God, this really could be true.
Right. Why did he go on? Why
was she interviewing him in the first place?
He's on the circuit. He's doing a lot of stuff now.
Does he have a book out or something?
I don't think so, he's doing... all right, we're going to, we only have 12 seconds before we have to go over to Ray Graff and go to our news break. So let me just remind you that you can get in on our discussion by going to panel@wamc.org, and we will continue our conversation with Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Rich Honan. And Rob is already planning the music coming into the next segment, and you're going to dance your little head off. We'll be back after this. You know, for the webcam, we're just going to put up a spotlight for you during the breaks. Let you do your thing there, Rich. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable panel. Alan Chartok is here, Rosemary Armeo, and Rich Honan. We have letters. Let me go to those first, and then we'll move on to some other topics. Cynthia writes, I listen to the Roundtable whenever I can. Right now I'm listening online from Ireland. Rich adds depth to the discussion. There you go. Beth says, Rich is so wrong. I am only one of many, many people who had no coverage before Obamacare, or in my case, RomneyCare. Just because you are working doesn't mean you can afford insurance or that your employer offers it. If you are sick enough to need help, you pay your bill in small increments monthly, sometimes for years. I think Rich is looking out of a bubble of Main Street comforts.
No, I never said that there were people who did not have coverage before Obamacare, who Obamacare covered. I know that. My point is, of the 20 million people, the amount of people who had no access to coverage before is far, far less than that.
Chris makes this point. Before the exchange, yes, I was covered for $371 a month for a crappy plan. Not affordable on my income, and I work. Even without the subsidies, I now have an affordable plan that is decent. How can they say they're saving us from Obamacare? Disgusting and shameful. Jim says simply, I like Rich. Akasha says, Rich, I was struck with a rare neurological disease. This new plan does not take care of millions like me. According to this new plan, I will lose health care. I simply can't afford Medicare on my own, not because I'm a slacker with a sense of entitlement, because after years of working very hard, I was struck disabled. Please don't generalize about all of those who have a sense of entitlement. Without my health care, I am dead.
Was she covered before? I guess that's the implication, that the plan was covering her, whatever plan she had was covering her before.
Seems to be the implication, yes. Kathy writes, as Jim did, I love Rich. John says, I agree that this plan is both much different than Obamacare and it is not fiscally sound. My question for Rich is, if you were to repeal and replace, what would be five essential parts of your replacement?
First, my repeal and replace. First, I'd repeal it in its entirety. Second, I'd have a transition period. I think I originally said, say, 3 to 4 years during which the government mm-hmm. would continue to pay, mm-hmm. you know, some diminishing, you know, starting with 100%, some diminishing percentage. Third, I would have I'll call it a catastrophic care plan that the woman with the neurological issue, for example, people who have to deal with that type of hospitalization. I have a plan that provides a minimum bare bones catastrophic care as well as preventative care plan with an amount of subsidies consistent with however much money you make. And if you don't make any money, then the subsidies would be a lot. But the plan would not necessarily be the Cadillac plan, you know, given by New York State. That's what I would do.
That was very good, Rich.
I mean, it actually makes a lot more sense than what we're seeing in Washington.
It is. It wasn't even like you had your points, and it was off the cuff, and it wasn't like a Rick Perry moment.
Well, he's had 6 years to come up with it. Oh, wait, so is Paul Ryan.
Right, I've actually
Paul Ryan doesn't dance.
Right, I've actually been thinking, yeah, but he has better abs.
He does.
I'm working on it. I haven't been thinking about it day and night the way they're supposed to be for 8 years.
The abs?
Yeah.
No. Claire says maybe the solution would be to regulate the insurance companies to take all customers and not just the healthy and young. It is the insurance industry that is the problem. Everyone needs to participate, young, old, and in between. What is wrong with that?
See, there's nothing, and that's the thing. In theory, if there was one big pool of people and everybody participated, in theory, then yeah, the health and even if everybody paid the same premium, you know, the young healthy people would kind of, you know, support the people who need the care now, and then the young healthy people would get older and need care later, mm-hmm. and it would work. The problem is now you're getting into single payer, and you don't realize any economies of scale, and we've never been able to administer any kind of bureaucracy on that level, let alone a federal bureaucracy on that level. In any kind of effective way.
Alan will say it. Alan, state the obvious here.
Hello. Did you ever hear of Medicare? It's a terrific program.
Did you ever hear of how many years it will take for Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security to be broke?
Did you ever hear of how long we have been robbing the Social Security fund, for example, to fund the government? It would have been fine if we had kept our greasy hands off of it. And also, Medicare has done so well. So if you have to, you change a couple of things, you make it a year older or something like that. But it's been a terrific program. I have it. I love it. And I resent anybody attacking it.
Then why did we not just simply expand that already terrific program? Why did we create an entire new entitlement full of subsidies for things like insurance companies?
I love this game.
Because he couldn't get away with it. They couldn't get away with it. That's why.
No. Because conservatives have an allergy to single payer.
No, well, but
of course, we should have done.
And liberals have an allergy to simple fixes. Liberals want to fix kind of the entire system, the entire process. If all they had done,
we
all agreed on this in the beginning. We all said there was clearly a gap. There were people that should have been covered who weren't. We had an existing infrastructure for that gap, and it was called Medicaid or Medicare.
Right.
Medicare.
Well, Medicaid too. Depending on
income Medicaid. Levels. You see, Medicaid becomes an obvious target for these guys because they know that the people at the bottom are the ones who are most at risk and who are politically inactive, and so we could get away with
cutting.
Objectifying them and doing what we're doing. Please, universal health care. Universal health care is exactly what we should be doing.
But, Alan, you belied that in the very first statement you made, all the money we've been stealing from Social Security. That's a universal program, and we haven't been able to run that.
Wait, we can run it.
And because
we shouldn't be taking
and
Congress.
Because we did
taking
the wrong...
money.
But Congress is the one running it. They're the ones taking the money from it.
Oh, please.
Ugh. Don't you hate talking to conservatives?
I say,
oh, my gosh. I'm exhausted between Facebook, Twitter, and now this. I don't know if I can keep this up.
I don't do social media. I have Twitter, which I follow just to follow my kids, but that's about it.
No, that's...
I regard it as
my idea
duty.
Of social media is texting, but nobody ever texts me, so... My kid, I'll reach out to my kids. They just never respond.
Your idea of social media is coming on this radio show once a week. Right.
I'm getting yelled at.
Got all the love letters today, though.
CNN just...
Oh, yeah, got a lot of love letters.
Came in.
Which proves, by the way, that there are all kinds of conservatives who listen to this radio show.
Write
to this radio show.
How do you feel about him getting love letters, Alan? They usually come to you and me.
I'm not sure if I'm for it or not. No, I'm all for it, and I'll tell you why. Because I love the fact that Rich is on the program, if I had my way, it would be 5 days a week.
How much do you hate this conversation, Rich?
A lot. But don't we have more letters?
But he won't do it.
We're just learning, CNN is reporting that President Barack Obama was irked and exasperated in response to his successor's uncorroborated wiretapping accusations. Sources close to the former president say, they say that his reaction stopped short of outright fury. Does that surprise anyone? I don't know that it would.
He's playing it like a top. He's doing exactly right. First he said, you know, no such thing happened. Very conservative, very nice. And now when he sees the incredible angst that this country has over this apparent lie, he comes back and now he says, I'm disturbed by this. I'm very disturbed by that. Good for him.
Did he deny it?
Who wouldn't be?
Obama and his aides responded with disbelief when they learned of President Donald Trump's Saturday morning tweets laying out the charges. Later in the day, an Obama spokesman said neither President Obama nor any White House official ever ordered surveillance on any U.S. citizen. Any suggestion otherwise is simply false. The sources
That's pretty careful.
The sources provided CNN with a slightly different sources provided CNN with slightly different insight into Obama's demeanor than others who told the Wall Street Journal that Obama was livid. Obama's loyal army of supporters have been far more active in voicing their dissatisfaction with Trump on social media and television. Former aides have been aggressively pushing back on Trump in the first weeks of his presidency. Why do you think that was careful?
Was the White House aware of wiretapping involving Trump Tower? Yes or no?
Except that's your question. Okay. What Trump's charge was that Barack Obama put a tap on my phone. And that's what they're responding to.
Right.
I agree. I think it is possible. I don't think Barack Obama said, hey, I want to find out what Trump is up to, put a bug in the tower. I don't believe that happened. But that is what our unstable president has made the conversation.
I don't think it's impossible. I don't think that what they denied there was that Obama ordered that particular wiretap, which I don't even think that would be his purview to do that. But
that is illegal under U.S. law.
Right. But whether he knew about it, whether he acceded to it. And this is like, you know, Chris Christie getting in trouble for the George Bridge Washington Gate. Bridge stuff. Right.
Yep.
There was not an allegation that he ordered it, but it was all around him. Same thing here.
Alan, did you want to add something?
Yes. I'm just very frustrated by Rich. I mean, he's parsing. This is a disgusting display on Trump's part. There is no data or anything else to back up what he has said. It is just infuriating.
Let's wait and see.
Can I disagree a little bit? I think that it's unwise of Trump, many other things too, but unwise I'll use now. It's unwise of him to push this because if indeed there was a tap in the tower or on him or his associates, that means an intelligence agency thought there was reasonable cause.
Right.
And so he's saying, yeah, I should be listened to. And he actually has increased the pressure and the reason for having a full investigation of the Russian ties. It just makes no sense from his point of view.
Well, I'll give you some insight into the conservative talking point conference call that I have every morning, you know, among me, Mike Pence and, you know, Rush Limbaugh, that what they're saying on the right is that this is Trump's way of calling out the fact that there wasn't any surveillance, you know, everybody's talking about, you know, the Russia stuff, and they're saying, well, then, you know, if everybody's saying there was no investigation, why were we talking about that during the entire campaign? I'm not saying I agree with this. I'm saying this is shining a light on the fact that, well, if there are no transcripts, then there was no investigation. Why were we all talking about, you know, what Russia's doing and things like that?
And I will repeat again my daily mantra. We still have not seen his taxes. And I think this is really all about his business connections in Russia, which is beginning to come out in the New York Times and especially in the New Yorker. And Rachel Maddow, of all things, has been all over this. And those deals will not bear scrutiny. And that is why he has ties and connections with the Russians, whether they rise to treasonous. I know it's not a time of war, but you get what I mean in general. I don't know. But that's what's really at stake, and we really need to see his
taxes. Well, when are we going to see some evidence of this? I've been hearing about Paul Manafort forever. I haven't seen any results of that alleged investigation. I've been hearing the Flynn stuff. What it seems like at the moment, what he did wrong was lie to Pence. I'm hearing all the allegations into Trump. I mean,
well, you're the lawyer. You know all about delays and putting off. We're not having the first hearing, the first witness on Congress's alleged investigation into this until March 20th.
What about the Manafort investigation? That was going on allegedly under the prior administration. Where's that going? How come we've heard nothing about this?
You say allegedly, and you're right, allegedly. Look, it's very simple, Rich. You got a bunch of Republicans who say we're going to do investigations and then never do, period.
I don't know.
I don't trust a congressional investigation any more than anybody else.
But I also don't think they move quickly. That's why it's so suspicious when they say, okay, we're going to vote on Obamacare replacement next week. That seems unreasonable.
What was that? Do they even have a bill? How could they even have a bill without it being CBO scored? I mean, do they actually have legislation upon which to vote?
They say they do.
Sounds a lot like Nancy Pelosi.
And the budget office asked for more time, and they said, no, we're going to push it through without it.
Why?
You're right. It is Nancy Pelosi.
Why would you do that?
Because you want to get it through. You want to make a big point.
But you would think that after all the points that were made by Trump and by everybody else about, you know, how the original Obamacare was pushed through, I just don't understand why they would shine that kind of light on it. Like,
are you shocked that Republicans are hypocrites?
It's
wow.
not the Republicans. It's the elites.
The words out of my
it's
mouth.
The elites. No, whether it's Pelosi, whether it's Ryan, whether it's McConnell, whether it's Reid, it's the elites
they
in charge of the government.
The same way.
Yeah, they all. I mean, this is no different.
All right, got a couple letters here that I want to read. Samantha says, "Rich, Fox News existed well before 2008. Thank you all for the discussion and happy International Women's Day." Witt says, as Trump carries his unsecured phone around, it could be possible that he is the source of some of the White House leaks. I'd love to know if this is the case.
That's a good point.
That is a good point.
Greg says, so Rich, it's okay with you that the proposed bill throws seniors and those with low income under the bus?
No, I liked my plan that took me 5 seconds of thinking. I would have gone with that one.
Daniel says, danger, 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 the cry of the left towards Trump, the CIA, WikiLeaks dump, done under Obama. It's no big deal. He is our savior. Such a double standard. I hear constantly that Trump is vile. I can see some people thinking he is. I understand that many times he acts like a jackass. My opinion is it may take a jackass to break the establishment. There will be no such anger shown towards Obama from the left or the media, which are one of the same.
Break the establishment.
Huh?
Oh, my God. What does that mean? Is this Bannon's, the administrative state? What is wrong with centrist compromise and balanced, knowledgeable government? Why is that suddenly so bad?
Nothing, but we haven't had it. And I think the reason we haven't had it isn't left or right. I think, again, it's because there's a ruling class who just wants to keep themselves as the ruling class.
And you're part of it.
Yes. Yeah, me, Mr. 1%. I'm right there.
Jackass. Maureen.
That was good.
Maureen says, can you please discuss the governor's proposed bailout of the nuclear power industry, calling nuclear power clean energy? Another example of the people footing the bill for the industry. There is a bill in the assembly to stop this nonsense. Alan.
I don't know what to say. You know, it is clear that these plants are a danger. And why you want to save them, I don't know. I mean, if you're going to close down one plant, which is in the middle of the Hudson Valley because it's close to New York City and Westchester County and everything else, how do you rationalize keeping the others open? I don't get it.
Yeah, I guess I think I agree. But the counterintuitive part of it is nuclear plants, unlike, say, coal-burning plants, they're not a danger when they work right. It's when they don't work that, you know, all hell breaks loose.
But we have a few examples.
Yeah, and we do. And the examples are awful. But the problem is it's the way I understand it, it's one of the few types of energy that if it works the way it's supposed to, it doesn't contribute as much to the greenhouse gases and the other issues that we're dealing with. So it's counterintuitive.
Hmm. I was supporting Cuomo when he was paying money to really take care of these aging plants for the very reasons you're talking about. They're incredibly dangerous as they get towards the end of their life. But this new influx of money without a corresponding influx to solar and other renewable energy seems very bad budget making, very bad planning on my part. And it will never be a clean energy until we figure out what to do with spent waste. So I put the money into research on what to do with spent waste rather than on, right. on keeping the plant going.
Yeah, I agree. And
so I don't think it's really smart at all. The
trouble is we've put a lot, you know, we've put a lot of money into solar. We put a lot of money into fuel. And by we, I mean governmentally, you know, solar and fuel cells, renewables, you know, tide, wind,
right.
everything. And we still can't, from a technological standpoint, we haven't been able to, you know, kind of create, you know, the kind of energy that we need to, you know, for the amount of energy we need to really power the things that we need.
It also, by the way, has created jobs, sustainable energy that's improved living. This is, you talked to him, Jonathan Chatz, right? Is that how you say his name? C-H-A-I-T, wrote about the contributions of Barack Obama.
Yes,
and this
yes.
is one of them.
Yeah,
the
but,
unsung. There has been a, it was worth the government.
It wasn't because you can't, I would agree with you, except you cannot use the word sustainable with respect to those jobs. Use the word sustainable with respect to the energy. They're not sustainable.
We can use them in respect to building a pipeline, which has a beginning and an end date, but we can't use it on energy jobs?
A sustainable, we talked about this before. To
me, we have 12 seconds.
A job that is only sustainable by government money going into the job
right.
is not a sustainable job.
Well,
that's
except
not
that
a sustainable
doesn't
industry.
Appear to be what's happening right now. Those jobs appear to be becoming economically viable.
You've got to come back tomorrow. This is a great show. Isn't this good?
Yeah,
is that a question?
Yeah, all right.
We'll have to ask. We'll have to ask my staff.
We're out of time. Thank you very much, and Alan, thank you. Keep going.
I've got a leg up on you. Yeah.
Excellent. Rosemary Rich, thank you. We'll be back with more roundtable after this.